The reading today is taken from the second book of Corinthians, chapter 8, verses 1 to 15. And that's on page 1163 in the Pew Bibles. The collection for the Lord's people. And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity. For I testify that they gave as much as they were able, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people. And they exceeded our expectations. They gave themselves, first of all, to the Lord, and then, by the will of God, also to us. So we urge Titus, just as he had earlier made a beginning, to bring also to completion this act of grace on your part. But since you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love we have kindled in you, see that you also excel in this grace of giving. I am not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. And here is my judgment about what is best for you in this matter. Last year, you were the first not only to give, but also to have the desire to do so. Now finish the work, so that your eager willingness to do it may be matched by your completion of it, according to your means. For if the willingness is there, the gift is acceptable, according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality, as it is written. The one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little.
Father, we just pray now that you will speak to us. Help us to hear. Help us to respond. Help us to love you more. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. Oh, it's up there. It's all right. It's a long while since we spoke about giving in our worship. It's actually 2 years. It was January 17 when we made our appeal for the refurbishment. And it was the year before that we last reminded ourselves of the need to give for the general work of the church. And it seemed appropriate at church leadership team, as we were thinking about this, that as we are now back in the refurbished building, although we have not yet finished paying for it, We need to remind ourselves of the regular life and mission and ministry of the church that goes on supported by our giving. And before I say anything else, I just want to say a big thank you. I want to say a big thank you on behalf of the church leadership team for the faithfulness, generosity, and openness with which you have given over the years, and especially over the last couple of years. It is not taken for granted. So a big thank you. And what we're going to do this morning, I'm going to talk a little bit about the spiritual reason for giving, if you like. I can't think of a better term. That'll do for now. And then, after I've had my 45 minutes, Stuart is going to take an hour to indicate the practicalities of why we need to give. That's not quite true. He'll only be 10 minutes. In his letters, Paul has three passages devoted to the subject of giving. In 2 Corinthians 8, from which we just heard, in 2 Corinthians 9, which builds on it, and in Philippians 4. And there's a particular connection between the passage we just heard from 2 Corinthians 8 and the last part of the letter to the Philippians. In 2 Corinthians 8, 9 and 10, Paul says this, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. In the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in rich generosity, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own, they urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people, and they exceeded our expectations." The grace that God has given the Macedonian churches. Which are the Macedonian churches? Well, they're the churches in Philippi and Thessalonica. And we know, because Paul tells us elsewhere, that it was the Philippians that funded his mission to Thessalonica. And so perhaps the Thessalonian church got its sense of generosity in the Holy Spirit from the example of the Philippians. But what we have at the end of Philippians, and I want to read some of its verses now, is essentially Paul's letter of thanks. We all like to have letters of thanks. I received one this week, you know, Christmas present letter. It was a video recorded by a child to say thank you, and basically it had the rider, "If we haven't shown the present you've given me during this video, we'll show all the others at the end." You know, it's really, really lovely. And but it's just the influence of modern culture, I guess. But yet it was a real response, and it was very genuinely done. So Paul wants to say thank you. And he says this, he says, "My heart," this is to the Philippians, "my heart overflows with joy when I think of how you showed your love to me by your financial support of my ministry. For even you, though you have so little, you still continue to help me at every opportunity. I'm not telling you this because I'm in need, for I have learned to be satisfied in any circumstance. I know what it means to lack, and I know what it means to experience overwhelming abundance. For I'm trained in the secret of overcoming all things, whether in fullness or in hunger. And I find that the strength of Christ's explosive power infuses me to conquer every difficulty. You've so graciously provided for my essential needs during this season of difficulty. For I want you to know that the Philippian church was the only church that supported me in the beginning as I went out to preach the gospel. You were the only church that sowed into me financially, and when I was in Thessalonica, you supported me for well over a year. I mention this not because I'm requesting a gift, but so that the fruit of your generosity may bring you abundant reward. I now have all I need, more than enough. I'm abundantly satisfied, for I've received the gift you sent by Epaphroditus and viewed it as a sweet sacrifice, perfumed with the fragrance of your faithfulness, which is so pleasing to God. I am convinced that my God will fully satisfy every need you have, for I have seen the abundant riches of glory revealed to me through the Anointed One, Jesus Christ. And God our Father will receive all the glory and the honor throughout the eternity of eternities. Amen. God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. To our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. An illustration I quite like to use in wedding services is that of the three-stranded cord. The cord plaited from three strands, and in the Old Testament we read a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Now you could say there's no great spiritual significance in that. It is a statement of fact that a rope made of three strands is much stronger than a rope made of one strand, if it's properly plaited together and if it's sealed at both ends. And we can use it in regard to all sorts of things. We could say faith, hope, and love are a three-stranded cord. We could say Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is a three-stranded cord. So I just want to employ that thought this morning and say that in relation to giving, grace, gift, and gratitude form a three-stranded cord. Faith, grace, gift, and gratitude. Paul says, I'm not commanding you, but I want to test the sincerity of your love by comparing it with the earnestness of others, that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. I've always tried to avoid and believe in the notion of the New Testament, the new covenant that is has moved on from the old covenant of the law, that the question of giving is not a matter of law, but of grace. It comes not out of compulsion, but out of freedom. It's not saying you must all give 10%. It's saying you give a proportion according to what you have, but feel free to give 20, 30, 40, 50%. There's no law that limits it. But of course, the whole idea of grace is essential to the Christian faith. And where we really start and end our Christian faith is in the fact that Jesus, the Son of God, carried our burden, was crucified on the cross, and there paid the price of our sin. I'm not sure we really get a lot of the time what an incredible grace gift that is. That there is nothing between us and God. once we have put our trust in Jesus Christ. Because he takes our place on the cross. He does what is necessary for us to be forgiven, for us to be free. It's a gift. A gift of grace. And elsewhere Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. As someone has said, and I don't know who it is, but it's one of those someones who's quoted by lots of people and never mentioned, the fact is that everything we have comes from God. Not just our salvation, but everything we require for life, everything we need, everything is a gift of God. Therefore, the question relating to giving becomes not how much should I give, but how much may I keep. Not how much should I give, but how much may I keep. Of course, the trouble is, and be warned, David, I'm going to ask you to press your button in a moment. Of course, the trouble is that money is an awkward thing. So it's the most awkward-looking picture I could find. And then I thought of, no, I know exactly the clip to show you, to remind you how awkward the issue of giving and money can be. Thank you.
You'd better be off, Mrs. Doyle.
I get this. Oh, no, Mrs. Janine, put that away. I get this.
No, now, don't be silly. I'll pay.
You won't. Put that away.
Now, don't be stupid, Mrs. Doyle.
No, 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 no.
Now, just put your money away.
You're mad. No, 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 no.
Take the money! Take the money!
Taken to extremity, I know, but how many times has that happened at 192? Hands up. No, don't. Paul knows, as you know and I know, that we cannot discuss money or giving in simple sentences, just cause and effect, flatten out. It's a complex matter. Of course it is. The Bible argues with itself about it. Some of the writers of the Bible say prosperity is a sign of God's favor. The person who delights in the law of the Lord is like a tree planted by the water, and everything he does will prosper. Proverbs says, show me a prosperous man, I'll show you a righteous man, because I have never seen a righteous man hungry, nor his children begging for bread. One of the great American philanthropists once said, show me a poor man and I will show you a sinner. But other parts of the Bible say no. The opposite's true. Jesus himself said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are the poor. Perhaps because the poor know how to truly receive. Mary sang, he has filled the hungry with good things, he has sent the rich away empty. Luke tells us in one of Jesus' parables, a rich man and a poor man died. The rich man went to hell, the poor man went to heaven. We don't know anything about them really, except that one ate and the other didn't eat. That was it. The Bible seems to put both points of view. It's a complex issue, just as it is with us. You can say 30 pieces of silver, and the ugliest scene of which we know comes to mind. Dark and gruesome, an ugly and foul story where the saviour of mankind was sold to his death for 30 pieces of silver. Or what's the worst thing you can say about this man, this politician? He only did it for the money. That's why he did it. Or, you know, on the page of one of those magazines that you see in the supermarket, you know, she only married him for his fortune. And yet, there's hardly anything in the church that we do that's more beautiful than giving our money as an offering to God. There's hardly anything more beautiful, I think, sometimes on when we see some of the charity shows on television in other places where people are going all out to give for those who have a need. And there seems to be a little awkwardness in the way Paul addresses both the Philippians and the Corinthians, and no wonder. As Fred Craddock commentates, Paul is at that moment, that rare juncture in human life that is the most fragile and yet the strongest, the most beautiful with the possibility of being the ugliest of any transaction we can ever know, the giving and receiving of a gift. That's a tender moment. It's a beautiful moment. And the New Testament thinks of that as such a beautiful moment that at times it will use exactly the same word for giving it and for receiving it. And the word is charis in Greek, which is usually translated grace. But it could also be translated gift, and it can also be translated thanks. And you don't know whether it's being given thanks, being received grace, or being given gift. Eucharist is Latin. The old words with which the communion service used to begin, Eucharisto. Sorry, that's Greek, not Latin. I give thanks. Charisma, that's a gift. Charismatic. That's to be a recipient of God's gifts of grace. It's all one word, that marvelous transaction, which in its most beautiful form is an exchange in which the same quality and temperament characterize the person who receives and the person who gives, and no difference really is made. It's the place of gratitude. Often, in the church where I was brought up, especially at harvest time, we used to sing this hymn by Joseph Conder. All things praise thee, Lord Most High, heaven and earth and sea and sky. All were for thy glory made, that thy greatness thus displayed should all worship bring to thee. All things praise thee, Lord, may we. All things praise thee. Night to night sings in silent hymns of light. All things praise thee. Day to day chants thy power in burning ray. Time and space are praising thee. All things praise thee. Lord, may we. And it ends. All things praise thee, gracious Lord, great creator, powerful word, omnipresent spirit, now at thy feet we humbly bow. Lift our hearts in praise to thee. All things praise thee, Lord, may we. Someone once said that to be initiated into the secret of the fundamental relationship with God that sets you free is gratitude. Gratitude. Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned The secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want, I can do all this from him who gives me strength. He says, I know the secret. What's the secret? I want to suggest it's gratitude. Again, Fred Craddock says, I've never known a person grateful who was at the same time small or mean or bitter or greedy or selfish or took any pleasure in anybody else's pain. Never. Paul says, I've been initiated into a secret. It's the secret of gratitude. I'm content because in every situation in life I'm adequate because of Jesus Christ. You can call it grace, you can call it gift, you can call it gratitude. But whatever you call it, this is our motivation for giving. Giving what is God's back to him for his purposes. I'm handing over to Stuart now.
Good morning, everybody. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Stuart Grant. I'm the treasurer, so that's why I get this joy of talking to you about the money side of things today. And to give you a bit of a clue where we're heading over the next hour, 10 minutes, my brief is to tell you where Whitley Bay Baptist Church spends its money. So when you set up your standing order or when you put your money in the offering bags on a Sunday morning, where does it go? And then actually, more importantly, why do we spend it on those things as well as part of it? Then I'm going to say a little bit about where we are financially. We've obviously done a big refurbishment in this building. And where are we then? Having done all that, having paid a lot of that money, what's the bank balance? Where are we? And then finally, to outline the plan for the giving review for 2019, which I guess kind of starts today. So first up then, where do we spend our money? Well, I thought it was best to explain where we spent our money, not by giving you charts and tables and numbers, although I'll do a little bit of that later on, but actually to talk a bit about where we do our activity week by week. What is it we do? What is it we get up to? And whilst not all the things I'm going to mention actually directly cost money, they all cost our effort, they all cost our time, and so on. So first up, the main Sunday services. You all know about those on account of you being here. So you'll also notice that these things involve a building, which we're all sitting in, heating, lighting, all of which do cost money, trust me, sound, video projection. Away from technology, we also need people to take our children and young people and teach them about Jesus. We need music, we need Bibles, we've got brand new Bibles. We need welcomers, we need tea and coffee, and of course biscuits if you can get there quick enough. Communion elements, safeguarding, we need somebody to prepare and teach us from the Word of God each week as well. And of course these things would be significantly less welcoming if the building wasn't clean and tidy and well-stocked toilets with soap and toilet roll every week. And it was decorated with flowers every week as well, like it is. But of course, the Sunday services isn't the only thing that we do. During the week, we also reach out to our community of Whitley Bay and the wider community, actually, not just Whitley Bay, and we take to them God's love, don't we? We share it and we talk about it. There's lots of activities that do that, and I'm going to list them. I'm going to have to read this. It's a bit low. I might bring it up a bit. It's my age, you know. So these activities are things like carers and toddlers, ladies' lunch, Coast Academy Football Club, open the book, parent talk, the non-Sunday children and young people's activities, such as, well, we've got lads' night, we've got the summer club, we've got youth activities, Bible studies that go on, we've got the vintage lunch, take five and chat, time out for parents, let's stick together courses, the light group, movie nights and parish nursing, and I've probably left some things out. So there's lots of stuff that goes on. It's also good to mention that we work with Safe Families for Children, Street Pastors, the Bay Food Bank, Tear Fund and North East Call to Action. All these things are going out into our community, and all these things we do with our resources, both monetary and time and effort. We also care for one another week by week. Small groups are an important part of that, where we share, we pray and we get deep into God's word. Obviously, Crispian's thinking about that, so there's the question there, a reminder there as well. And there's the pastoral care team as well, to give more of that caring to us. And I mustn't forget also to mention the other teams that do the behind-the-scenes stuff. They do the keeping it going. So that's teams like church office, Carol in the office, website, social media team, the IT team, the fabric team, the hopefully soon-to-be-disbanded refurbishment team, the finance team and the church leadership team. And of course, we back all that up with prayer as well. So that's what happens directly out of Whitley Bay Baptist Church. But we give a sizable chunk of the money that we receive each year to mission activities away from Whitley Bay Baptist Church as well. So here's a sample of where we've given our money. In fact, this is all the places we've given our money in 2018. So we've got Baptist Home Mission, which supports mission, particularly in the Northeast, actually, in other Northern Baptist Association churches. BMS, that's the Baptist Missionary Society World Mission. Tuition fees for Adam Gray at the Northern Baptist College. We supported other mission organisations too, such as Children's Vision International, Tear Fund, Junction 42, Safe Families for Children and Youth for Christ Northeast. And of course, we've supported mission workers too, directly. We've seen actually both these two on this platform in the last month. So that's Beth Newman and, fresh in your minds, David and Lucy Morrison this morning. So this is how we spend our time and money and skills. And whilst some of these things, as I've said, are free from the spending of money, they all cost us in terms of our time and effort that we put in to make them happen. And they all have impact. Everything I've mentioned has an impact. So let's be real then about what this activity really is. It's not a hobby. It's not something we might do with a bit of our spare time. The giving the money isn't something we do just to fulfil an obligation. This should be, and is, our deep love for God overflowing as we serve others for the sake of Christ. It's the love of God overflowing as we serve others for the sake of Christ. And that's why it's important to look at all this stuff. For each of us, how are we giving of our time, skills, and I guess we're particularly thinking about money this morning to worship our Saviour and Lord? We'll come back to that in a few minutes, but I promised you a few numbers to look at where things were financially, where we are, and I'm good with numbers, as you may know. So what does everything that we've just mentioned, what does it cost? Well, in 2018, we spent rather a lot of money. Now, these aren't final accounts yet. These are rough pullings together, partly estimated, partly based around bank statements and what have you. But we spent rather a lot of money, that's jolly clear. We spent £469,000 in 2018. It won't surprise you to learn that two-thirds of that was spent on refurbishing this. Yes, that's how it used to look. Into this, which is how it looks now. So that was a lot of spending. Two-thirds spent on that, but then there were some left as well, where we spent about £163,000 on other bits and bobs, quite a few bits and bobs. In terms of income, we took in £248,000 last year. Again, a good chunk of that was for refurbishment, but there was £178,000 which wasn't, which was for the general running of the church. With all that, the key thing really is how much money then we got in the bank. And the answer to that is £169,000. I can almost see the collective sigh of relief. Well, that's an awful lot of money. That's good, isn't it? That's good. It is, except for we still have £98,000 to pay for refurbishment. I've got an invoice in my bag today already to pay, and we'll be receiving some others as we just get in the last of the bills for what we've done. And we do have a loan to pay back of £125,000 over the next 10 years. Having said that, this is pretty much where I expected we'd be. So this is good. We're in a reasonable place. My only concern is the giving over the last 2 years, which I'm going to show you a chart. It's the only chart, so you know, bear with me. Along the bottom of that chart, you've got months. So each little tick represents a month in 2017 and 2018. And up the side, it says how much money we're giving each month in thousands of pounds. So you can see that we're around £12,000 to £14,000 at the beginning of 2017. That's how much we were giving each month collectively, between £12,000 and £14,000. That fell then for the back end of 2017 and the beginning of 2018 to around £12,000 a month on average. And then it fell again in mid-2018, and we're now looking at more like £10,000 to £11,000 in a month. Now, that's a significant fall, let's be clear, and we do need to raise that a little bit in order to maintain the list of things I was talking about earlier on. But don't mishear me. What I don't want to do this morning is stand here and almost bully people into increasing their giving because there's a line on a chart that happens to be falling. That's not what this is about. What I'm doing here is I'm telling you how things are financially at Whitley Bay Baptist Church, and I'm going to explain how we're going to review our giving and how I can help you. But my main call to us all is that we do that, and we do it sincerely, prayerfully, and in a way that brings glory to God. So here's what's going to happen. I've already mentioned it's already been mentioned this morning, there's a church members meeting on the 30th of January, and there we're going to review the budget for 2019. That budget will set a target amount of giving income, which will probably be a bit higher than at the end of 2018. And then following that, I'm going to issue a giving review booklet to everybody, which will give you something to read and to ponder and to pray through as you think where God's leading you in terms of giving for 2019. Then, of course, it'll be time for us to respond. For some of us, that will be a relatively simple, prayerful and sincere confirmation that actually what we're giving, where we're giving it, is right, and we're comfortable with that before God. For some of us, we might be needing to reduce our giving, so we might need to put down a service area where we're serving and giving in that way. We may need to reduce our financial giving. Perhaps we've committed to 10% of our income to give, but in actual fact, our income has fallen, so it'd be right to give less. But for still others, we may realise that we're not giving enough of our time, our skills, or our money. The response then might be to complete a Whitley Bay Baptist Church standing order form. There are some down there that are yet to find a new home, but there are some there for the time being, and I'll try and put them there over the next few weeks. It may be that you want to change your existing standing order online. It may be you want to grab a stack of giving envelopes. Also down there. Perhaps it's time to set a percentage of how much of your income you do want to give, and then stick to that in years to come. Or perhaps you just know that your income has increased, and so you need to give that little bit more. Or of course, it may be that you want to volunteer and pick up a service area, perhaps one of those that I mentioned earlier on. But above all, I can't stress this enough, this is your decision to make before God. So what are the challenges then that I want us to take away today? I want us to ask us three questions, and I shall put these in the giving review booklet, which you'll get in a few weeks' time. First up, what proportion of my income am I currently giving? And I guess how's that changed over time? You might want to look back 5 years and say where it was then. I want you to ask yourself, how do I use my time and skills in direct service for God? How do I use my time and skills in direct service for God? And then finally, thinking about what Jesus said, this is in Matthew, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And based on that, where does the overall use of my money, time and skills, not just in what we give, but the overall use, how does that overall use of my money, time and skills say about where I'm putting my treasure and therefore my heart? And these are tough questions, aren't they? These are tough questions. And obviously I don't expect you to put up your hand and give me an answer right now. These are things to ponder. But let's commit now to spending some time on this over the next month. Each bringing ourselves and all of our resources before him. As Paul said earlier on, it's all God's anyway. So let's bring it to him and let's work out with God where we need to be. I'm now going to watch a video.
Let's pray and then we'll sing together before we close. Heavenly Father, you've reminded us of your grace, of your gifts, and how we can bring our gifts in gratitude. As we go into this next few weeks of considering our giving and how we might be obedient to you, we pray for your leading by your Holy Spirit. Help us to understand what you have given us and how we should use it. Help us to be true to you. So that your name might be glorified through all we seek to do. We ask it in your name, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let's stand and sing our closing song together.